HPPodCraft.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the bonus June episode for the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Lackey. We're at HPPodCraft.com and Patreon.
For this bonus episode, we didn't prepare much. We just thought we'd have a little off-the-cuff conversation about things we've learned over the last 13 years.
Oh, jeez.
Stuff that's come up. It's weirdly not as momentous as you would expect because we have new stories to pick that we're talking about.
Yeah.
We have a new schedule to put together, and we're just going to keep rolling on these and producing shows every week. So no need to get too wistful about it, I guess. But it does feel like maybe we should mark the occasion just by talking about what it's been like.
Looking back and seeing what you've done kind of helps you figure out where you want to go as well.
Yeah, I feel the weird, and I don't know if this is associated with us bringing the show to a close, but I feel really lazy right now. Is it the pandemic? I'm hearing this actually from a lot of people that the last couple of years was, you know, pretty intense.
Yeah.
It just, everybody feels like slagging off a little bit.
I'm feeling it too. I was, you know, we're starting a new role-playing game, and for some reason I had more energy to just write down background information for the role-playing game than I did to actually read the stories that I need to read for the show.
It just feels like, I think that there's been a lot of output time and for us in the last couple of years. We've been doing lots of shows and the last 13 years, and I'm ready to dive into some new things, but it definitely feels like input time. You know, I want to do a lot of reading and sort of traveling and talking and lazy stuff, just kind of being around and feeling the environment.
Well, it's getting a little life experience. You know, we do a show and we talk about things, and it's good to know what it is to be human and to live a life so that we can kind of talk about that with some authority.
Indeedy duty. But the last 13 years, what have you learned, if that's the topic, things I've learned from the Lovecraft podcast?
Looking back, obviously I start at the beginning of it, is just go out and do whatever. If you want to do a thing, just do it. Thinking back to the summer of 2009, I was an animator. I listened to a lot of podcasts. Most of them were not great, but they were people talking about what I loved. So I listened to these podcasts, and then I thought to myself, boy, I could make a better show than this, than the stuff I listened to, because they had good content, but they were just didn't really understand about structure or editing or any of these things. And I went to you and you said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. What do we do? Let's just find something that we love to talk about. And we did. We found Lovecraft stuff and we just went for it. We didn't hem and haw. We didn't goof around. We just decided, okay, we're going to go for it. And that's one of those things in life. You never hear of those people that say, oh, well, I didn't really go for it. And then I got really popular and successful and everything worked out for me. It's like, no, you got to try.
And so, you know, it's funny because I just had this movie come out, The Time Capsule. And it makes me think about stuff. There's two things I wanted to say. One was that something I've learned from this show is that nobody gets out alive, you know, since we do biographies every week when we're covering these things, and you see how hard these successful people's lives were.
Oh, yeah.
It, in an odd way, makes me feel better about struggles I'm having because I've been a writer and an actor and a musician, and, you know, you're striving to do things and it just feels like nothing's ever going to work out for you. Well, even for these people that are at the top of their field, nothing really ever worked out. Life is just hard. You can only experience yours. And even the external successes of having a big audience or getting some success in something doesn't necessarily make that interior life better for people.
No.
So that along with cosmic horror have really helped me take the pressure off of myself a little bit.
Yeah. Reading about Tennessee Williams and how amazing and successful he was, and yet how he seemed really troubled and had a really rough life and things didn't really work out for him in a way that you would think that being one of the greatest American playwrights ever, you would have this amazing, awesome life and be a totally happy person. But no, not at all.
Yeah, well, that's an assumption that somehow being the greatest American playwright, that achievement will trickle down to not getting indigestion or having a good relationship with somebody or the things that life is actually about. And I don't know if in 2009 I had such a good understanding because I was still striving so hard for this and that. And I don't know if I had a good appreciation for the fact that you better just enjoy the thing you're doing. Because even the biggest movie star on their biggest night don't really get to experience that fame in the way that you experience it as an external viewer. You get to behold the person who succeeded, but the person who succeeded only has, they have to go home and try and sleep. And, you know, they have little odd things that are bugging them. And And that being the case, I just really feel it now. And along those lines, what I was trying to say is this movie just came out, and it took about 10 years for that to get done. And Lyle, who I'm in the band with, was asking me how it was. And I'm not denigrating the film, but I said to him, you know, it's kind of, it's odd because he and I just wrote with Josh about, you know, 25, 30 songs that we'll prune down to some that we want to work on. And I said, it's a, imagine that just one of those songs got funded of those 30, you know, just that one facet of what you can play. They said, you have to now work on this for the next 10 years. Oh. And it there's that level of, you feel, hey, this isn't my life's work. I'm really proud that it came out, but this isn't all of me. And the film industry, you know, you just can't choose. I wrote 40 odd scripts over, you know, 20 years. And then that was the one that took off for whatever reason. By that same token, what you're talking about, you just go out and do it. And the thing that you never thought, a podcast would have never occurred to me.
Oh, no.
And it turned out that this is the thing I love doing more than anything.
Yeah.
and it achieves that thing, that interior part of it, because I just enjoy doing it. I still have just as much enthusiasm for it as we did 13 years ago. It just hits all the things that I like to do.
I like to read cool stories. I like to think about it. I like to talk about it. I like to talk about it with you specifically.
Exactly. And it's, wow, what a gift that is. And
yeah,
I feel really lucky, but you just sort of have to be open for things like that to happen by trying stuff and then be willing to fail. Failure really sucks. But at the same time, time passes. Nobody cares. Everybody's so worried about themselves, you know?
Yeah. And again, failure is the thing that you learn the most from.
Yeah.
You're going to learn a lot from screwing up, way more than you're going to learn from just doing it right.
Absolutely. Pain is really purifying. And the unfortunate thing about pain is it's really painful. You got to go through it. You really have to feel bad at some point, you know, in those depths of failure to purify your intention and help you value you know, what you love. And definitely reading people's stories and getting to know these authors. For this group of authors that we've covered, we sort of had a friend in common to start, you know, to get back to the start of the show with it being Lovecraft.
Yeah.
You know, having that key figure that people, obviously the people that wrote pastiches of his works or the people that influenced him, that was the friend in common. So we were really lucky also to have that focus, because it brought in this cool group of writers and then this group of fans. And it, you know, I still got to say thank you to H.P. Lovecraft, even though we're changing the name of the story. His companionship with other writers and his letter writing and the whole sort of interesting fanzine world that he was in 100 years later still translates to pretty neat group of people. So I do want to say, you know, at the end of this thing, thank you, H.P. Lovecraft.
The whole reason we got into it is because I had a hard time, you know, understanding Lovecraft.
Right.
He's a bit inaccessible. It was hard to read with his antiquated vocabulary, his unusual story structure. We wanted to kind of do the show to sort of communicate maybe things that you would miss from reading it, or make it more digestible. You maybe listen to our show and then go read a story, and then you'll get more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at old episodes, because before we were doing this, I went just through the list and everything. And I remember Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath being one of those stories that I tried to read a few times and just gave up on it and was bored with it and didn't like it. And it was this show that made me, I have to do it. I'm going to have to read this thing. And I'm gonna not only have to read it, I'm going to have to talk about it. So I really have to get into it.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was cool. It's not a great story, but it was worth putting that energy and that time into it, and then talking to you about it, and then getting feedback and on the forums with people and talking about the story. And it was just so exciting to be able to have that. And to still do that, you know, we do it on our comments, and it's cool that we're able to do our comment show, because it's sort of that feedback loop that we're getting, which is, you know, a good feedback loop, you know, like in How Soon Is Now with the Smiths, you know, that with the...
that like is a good feedback loop, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, whoa, 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 it feels that good. A lot of authors that I was introduced to that I, things that I found that I really liked, like Guy Maupassant. Yes. Well, I never read Mackinder Blackwood before.
No.
We did the show. Going over the hits, the things that stick with me to this day still are like Fishhead by Irving Cobb.
Yep.
The Vampire, Dr. Palladori. That was so rad. And I didn't know that existed before we did this show. And so many other things, like just going through Werewolf of Paris, you know, the Guy Endor story that we covered was so cool, because it was that part of the history of France that I really didn't understand and know anything about.
Right. Yeah. And on the history of France thing, I just keyed in so hard to the Colossus of Valorant, obviously.
Yeah.
Last year. And then speaking of the movie, I was in that period of time where, you know, because of the pandemic, we didn't even get that out when we thought we were going to, and didn't really get to go around and do festivals with it and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I was just felt so stagnant and needed to just get something out there. And that story came at the right time.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is my jam. This is the kind of thing I actually would want to be my the work I want to be doing. And psychologically writing that script and doing that audio movie of the Colossus really helped me get through the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, you did a lot of great work. You did that. You did Pitch Black Banner got back together.
All of that stuff comes from the podcast and the things that we've been introduced to. And yeah, it's been so important to life in general.
Yeah.
But just in terms of having access to it, it was because we're doing the show and we're reading this stuff. And hopefully, I do know that we've covered some stories where people have gone, oh man, this made me think of, I went off on a whole tangent with this because they heard it on here. At first, I wondered, is there any value to what we're doing, which is sort of Cliff's Notes sometimes.
Yeah.
Should we be spoiling all these stories? Should we just be doing summaries of them? Should we be encouraging people to read more? And I think, oh no, it's kind of cool that we've put out this menu of all these different types of stories and people can go, oh, that one I really keyed into and I'm going to go read it and drill into that more and maybe do something creative with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really enjoy that some other people have run off in different directions with things we've covered here.
I know it's a type of Cliff Notes thing, but I think when people come into the show, they're not here because usually you got Cliff Notes because you had to study a story, a book. Mm-hmm. You don't have to study any of the stuff. We're just throwing things at you. And if you like what we're talking about, or if you think it sounds cool, then you can explore it. So it's just us kind of doing some legwork for you if you're into this stuff. Maybe giving things a chance that you wouldn't have given a chance. Maybe you'd ever read a John Campbell story before and you're like, oh, he wrote Who Goes There. That's great. Let me go find some more of that guy's stuff. And hopefully opening up some terrifying vistas for you.
By the way, I got busted for Cliff Notes once when I was a sophomore in high school where we read the Iliad and I just whipped through that thing. It wasn't typical for me to do that. I don't know why I did, but I straight up in the discussion group started quoting something from it. You know, I really think that Achilles was demonstrating. And the teacher looked right at me. She goes, oh, that's interesting. I read the Cliff Notes too. Just busted me right in the room right there.
You know, I would say as a teacher, at least you read the Cliff Notes. You put in some effort. Some kids didn't even bother reading any of this stuff.
Oh, for sure. Well, also, I thought that the choice wasn't to, you know, downgrade me for it or
no.
She just like let me know, you know, game recognizes game. Yeah. Here, I know what you're up to. And that was, it was funny. I mean, I still remember it.
You know, and another thing about the show that I really appreciate is kind of getting out there and talking to people.
Yeah.
Because the show, I've met some amazing folks over the years, some in person, some just over the internet.
Yeah.
You know, like Ken Height, James Holloway, who was on a really early episode of the show, but I see him every year at the game convention.
Right.
We talked to Joshi, Leslie Klinger. Of course, we had Patton Oswalt on the show.
Yeah, with Patton, that was so cool because he listened to the show first. And as you know, you and I both working in the film industry, you actually do end up meeting celebrities and maybe even working with name actors or whatever. But it's always, you don't meet them as friends first, you know. So it was cool to meet Patton first because we had a similar interest, not because we were trying to recruit him to act for the show or something like that. And hadn't had an experience like that where we just showed up and started chatting with him like he was a buddy. And that was really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, the same with JB, who's been on the show recently.
Yeah.
It's like an old friend. He's just one of these guys.
Absolutely.
He knows us because of our show. And that's something with the show that I think is pretty cool is we're who we are on the show. There's no real pretense or we're not characters or versions of ourselves. We're just us. I mean, we cuss more in real life, but it's still us. And, you know, it can be risky to just be yourself because, you know, some people aren't going to like you, but I've learned that those people don't really matter because the joy is finding like-minded, funny, thoughtful people.
Yeah.
You know, that joy far outweighs any haters that you're going to have out there.
You know, speaking of cursing, Jamie's, I don't think I've told him this, but there was one of those later episodes of Skins, because I was a fan of that show before we met as well, that he created and wrote for on and off. And one of the later, there's like the later seasons of it that he and his sister wrote that follow the different characters in their sort of young adult lives. But there was one of them where I wasn't even watching it. I was walking through the room and the girl in the show, this is one that Jamie wrote, goes, "Even your dick is a liar." And it made me laugh so hard out of context that I quote that all the time. For no reason, I'll say that to Heather. I go, "Oh, whatever, even your dick is a liar." And it only occurred to me the other day that I'm actually quoting Jamie, who's my friend, because he wrote that script. It's just so in there.
It's pretty cool. And then, of course, Ian J. Colbard, he was a fan of the show, and we ended up working with him. and made Deadbeats.
Absolutely, yeah, which was such a great experience. I never would have thought I'd get to actually do a graphic novel in my life.
And Greg Johnson as well. He was a fan of the show. I met him in person. I've done so much stuff. Mm-hmm. We've done Quiet and Bold. He's been in our live shows. He's my dearest friend in the UK. It's amazing.
I miss Jeff Carter so much from Los Angeles, and we met because of the show. Jeff C. Carter, you know, he fights his way on here once in a while.
Yes.
But yeah, he reached out and was like, hey, I like your show, and I have some beer over here in Venice that's werewolf beer. And I was like, werewolf beer? Jeff C. Carter? I think I'm gonna like all of this. But we would go on these long walks and talk about all sorts of things, and I'd be working out ideas that would later find themselves onto the show. He's a great author and a good buddy of mine. I mean, really, really good friend.
Yeah.
He drove us to the train station, you know, when we moved.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I'm just talking about people that we've been friends with. It's
Christopher Barnes, you know, Kip Barnes, who came and made the trip to Providence with us. I met him on an airplane because he was reading a Lovecraft book.
I know. It's neat because not only are those people friends, when we go to the convention and we talk to people, I'm excited. I've like haven't met anybody yet that is weird or creepy or somebody I don't want to talk to.
Greg Johnson, but he puts me off a little bit with his charm. Like when you meet a cult leader and you're afraid you're going to get taken in. It's that kind of thing. I'm not running him down. I'm saying he's too...
He's a little too perfect, yeah.
Too magnetic.
Too in control. The fact that we're in... That we kind of just are ourselves on the show is great because it attracts a certain type of person. You know, I keep reading about people blocking people. You know, people that say things or do things and they block them. And I'm like, I've never blocked anybody. Because I'm on Twitter quite a bit and I read a lot of Twitter. But it's usually pretty positive stuff. It's like kind of funny or uplifting or interesting. And
I think there's a tipping point in terms of how many people you're interacting with.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just still obscure.
Oh, yeah.
Relatively
and I love it.
Speaking. Yeah, yeah.
I love our obscurity because it
kind
of protects me from that. It's the people that listen to our show are fans and so are positive. And it's been such a great experience to be part of this community and to be welcomed in and to be accepted. And it just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, so you have a relatively, by internet standards, I guess, a small number of followers or, and you're having a good experience. If you just added a zero to that and suddenly was a huge amount and you're having a negative experience, all you can have is that internal experience. So, you know, those numbers just so don't matter. They would just be numbers to you. So it's better to be obscure and be having a blast than to be majorly successful. I do feel guilty that we're able to make money from the show or, you know, or at least earn a little bit of a living from it.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, Lovecraft, who had to die poor and obscure.
Oh, geez.
It makes me feel like a little bit of a, you know, there have been times when I was ripping on August Derleth for his co-writing with Lovecraft as some sort of ghoulish endeavor. And then here we are 600 episodes later profiting off of this guy's legacy.
Yeah.
It's true because, you know, we're charming and all, but come on. I mean, the key ingredient here and probably some panic and fear I'm having right now as we transition to the new story is leaving Lovecraft behind because the guy did such incredible work.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's connective tissue and
yeah.
And, you know, I think people are there for the Lovecraft and then they stick around for some corny jokes, maybe.
Yeah,
But really, they got into it because of this guy. And so.
And that's, I mean, we've been doing it for 601 episodes. So it feels a bit done. And we need to move on and we need to explore other things. Again, not far from what we're doing already. Just move a little to the left or the right.
Yeah, you know? Well, weird fiction is a subgenre of, I think, just good fiction. And so we wanted to expand it a little bit to talk about some new things. But we're always going to have the same proclivities, you know, things that we're interested in checking out. But, you know, right now you and I are bandying around some Rod Serling stories. And I don't know if you can, just like we are ghoulishly robbing the talents of Lovecraft, I don't mind going after Rod Serling now, because certainly seeing A Twilight Zone has sent people down whole life-changing rabbit holes.
Oh, sure.
Of what they consume and how they think about the world. And I think that it's one of the most purposeful, lucky things that we've had in television.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something that can be discussing the issues and provoking the critical thought that it does while also being entertaining. And that's the type of thing that we want to be talking about in the new show. On the first episode, we're going to do a Rod Serling story, but we're also going to talk about a little what we mean by a strange story, because I do think that we need to set some criteria. Otherwise, we're just going to be reading a lot of zap, hoo-ha, you know, fighting. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of like hero's journey, good versus evil, basic space adventure stuff out there.
Sure.
If we're getting into sci-fi. And we want to read some of that because there's nothing wrong with escapism. No. But we also want to be saying what's better than that. It's interesting because just even in the last week, they call this elevated or high concept. Mm-hmm. When is it just a cool concept and when is it a meaningful story that actually impacts you? And I think we're going to look at what the criteria that we have for ourselves is. But mm-hmm. I got really excited thinking about that new mission.
Yeah. And just because we're going to be looking at these types of stories doesn't mean that we're not going to still just do stuff that we find interesting. Like, we never finished Manimal.
Oh, we're going to continue with Manimal, don't you?
Manimal's going to happen.
You got to see that through the... I'm not the kind of person who doesn't finish a project.
Exactly.
In fact, I have problems with it. There are things I don't do in life because I just don't dabble. I never do anything kind of. That has good and bad.
Case in point, Manimal.
Yeah, Manimal. Exactly. It's so good it is bad, or so bad it's good. Well, yeah, we're going to finish Manimal. If we can get into that Friday the 13th stuff, I will. And oh yeah, of course we're going to do Thuli. Robert E. Howard stuff. That stuff's so fun.
Yeah, so the show is going to be the same, but a little bit more. That's, I think, it's the best way to say it.
I see you wrote down here that even in 10 years, a human voice changes. Yeah, we have deeper voices than we did at the beginning of this. Again,
Chris,
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's crazy to me because the amount of time, and for me, it doesn't seem like we've been doing this that long.
No.
But we have. Yeah. And here in those early episodes, I can hear I sound younger. Mm-hmm. I just am a younger person in a younger body, and my body is aged and slowed down. And
sure, but as I think we referenced earlier in the show, you know, I think we were even feeling old then. That's just the curse of humanity, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You're old and fat, even by the, you know, at 10 years old, you're like, what happened to my youth? And there we were. I'm in my mid-30s, man, and I don't have it figured out yet. It's so dumb. You'll never have it figured out. Just let me break it to you now. I think there's an idea that we all have in youth that, you know, you're just going to, at some point you're going to turn into that person and then just be that for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to figure it all out and then boom, now you're the show, the curtain comes up and now you are that fully formed character. But that is not the case. It's just a bunch of juggling. You don't know what's going on.
No, I do feel like just a sort of a guy meandering around through life, trying to figure things out. There are times where you think, I'm a fraud, I'm a fake, I don't really know what I'm doing. People think I know what I'm doing, but I don't. I'm just this buffoon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody feels that way, especially
me. And eventually I'm going to get caught. Did you say especially me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I am a fraud. I have been discovered. It finally happened.
You're busted, Piper.
So busted.
No. You know, we were talking about reading these authors' bios.
Yeah.
Everybody feels that way. All these people go through that. And, you know, they're working crap jobs, trying to become successful. And some of them ultimately don't really become, quote unquote, successful. We're reading their stories years after they've died. But in the course of their life, I mean, look at Lovecraft. You know, he got a few published stories in some magazine, and that was it. Then he died when he was 47 years old, so geez. Yeah.
We made a movie called Goth Boy, you and I, when we were in high school still, I think. But there's some scenes from that I think are still really funny. And one of them is that he has to go buy some milk.
Uh-huh.
And it's like we shot it in our local Jewel Osco grocery store.
Yeah.
But just nothing's brighter than a grocery store, you know. And the having a little goth kid in a grocery store doing something mundane was still a funny juxtaposition to me because it speaks to whatever it is you're into that is the focus of your life. At some point, it gets shown in a light where it's just so unimportant.
Yeah.
You know, you look so silly.
Yeah.
We're doing this and you try to explain it suddenly to somebody else who's in financial services or something. Try to explain to them that you make a story about this obscure horror writer and suddenly you feel like the goth kid in the grocery store. You're like, this is the dumbest thing that I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's about this early 20th century horror writer. He kind of wrote weird fiction. Oh, who is that? H.P. Lovecraft. Oh, never heard of him.
And it's funny to see that, you know, these authors, in my perspective, they've done the most amazing stuff in their life, but they still had some kind of outside problems or...
Yeah, of course.
In their own eyes, it wasn't that big of a deal. They didn't really get it done what they wanted. That's the biggest takeaway for me, I think, probably. There's all the positive stuff that you have, but in terms of framing your view of the world and how it impacts my day-to-day life doing this show, or it just could be aging and I'm associating it with this show, but I think these biographies and the experience over time of learning so much about this genre and these people has helped me to think about life in a little less of a stressful way.
Keep things in perspective, in a healthy perspective.
Yeah. Well, in a world where it just seems that everybody's drenched in anxiety and and some of that fraud syndrome that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It seems like a really urgent need to ease this a little bit, because I just don't want people suffering.
No, God, no.
When, you know, it's needless. There's so much terrible stuff coming for all of us that the experience of day-to-day life should be a little better. I mean, don't torture yourself on top of it, you know?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I've learned a lot, and hopefully we're going to keep learning cool stuff as we do this.
Well, I think that the neat thing about, I think we're going to get into a little bit more dangerous territory. When you start getting into science fiction, you do have to discuss things that verge on the political a little bit. I don't we're a respite from that kind of stuff. We're never going to be jumping on the news of the day or freaking out about this or that, hand in hand with trying to ease some anxiety, because that is a rough world out there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it bleeds into this show sometimes because we're just experiencing life like anybody. But the whole point is some diversion from that. We could talk about these things in a more metaphorical way. But as we cover science fiction, that is about how is society developing? What do we owe each other? What are good ideas and bad ideas in that regard? So there'll probably be some slightly more socially relevant discussions, I guess. Other than, is it weird, you know? Did it give you a creepy feeling?
Yeah, I'm excited to get into more of the stuff. We've, again, touched on it with HP Podcraft. We've gotten into these a little bit, gone off the weird path, and now we're just going to be a little bit more honest about it, that we're actually going to be doing these things that aren't weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, we've been doing kind of whatever the heck we want. We did author some supernatural and horror in literature pretty exclusively for a while.
Yeah.
But it's just been rando town. You know, that's actually the other thing about the show that's been very good, is that when you do something like this that's frequent, my favorite, you know, I'm not a religious person, but one of the things that I do feel that what I guess you call spirituality is the way things in art and creativity just sort of come together. People you meet, the situation. I always love it when I'm throwing music under the show and it'll just magically end at the right moment.
Oh, yeah.
And create a transition. I didn't mean for that to happen, and it just happens. And there's a lot of, say, the schedule of the show. I do try to plan ahead a little bit, but at the same time, I purposely don't, because it's just kind of fun. For example, the Tennessee Williams story we just covered, that book happened to just be in this house.
Yeah.
Or Jamie happened to find that book in his attic and say, do you want to cover this? Or the Ramsey stuff came around at the right time, and it's just sort of throwing up some trust to the universe that these topics and stories will suggest themselves, and then they seem eerily relevant, and they'll be connected to each other in ways that seem like how we couldn't have planned this. And then, you know, I killed Ray Bradbury. All of these things, synchronicities.
I wish you killed Ray Bradbury.
No, I really don't. I love that guy. I do wish I had those kinds of powers, though.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I bet I'd regret it so quickly.
I would. I would become a terrible person. We've had this conversation many times.
Of course we have.
Power corrupts.
That's really what everybody needs to know. After 13 years of this show, we have learned that power corrupts. That's really the big takeaway.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be back with next week. We're doing a Rod Serling story. As of this recording, we haven't decided what it is yet, but we will tell you that. And that's going to be episode one. I think we're going to backfill that free feed for Strange Studies with some of these episodes.
The plan is, and maybe you guys could help us out with this, is what are some good episodes, past episodes we can kind of rebrand a little bit and stick on the feed, so that we want to populate it, because we're going to push out this new feed of Strange Studies, and we want it to have some content on there. So
it'll just have a little intro that says, this is from the old show, and this is the kind of thing we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so if you've got any suggestions, let us know, because we'll put 5 or 10 of those up.
Yeah, yeah. There's things I remember that jump out to me, like The Night Wire.
The Night Wire is a good one. I think would be great for the new show. Notebook Found in a Deserted House is like everybody's favorite. So we'll throw that one up there. I'd love to put one of the novels up there, although that might be a little too much. Maybe just like the first episode of Frankenstein or something like that. To show that we do some classical stuff on that nature.
Yeah.
Because there's some canon books I want to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely none of them came to mind when I just said that, but there are some.
Well, robot stuff. Isaac Asimov, robot stuff. I want to deal with that.
Stuff by Isaac Asimov. Great book.
And honestly, I'd like to tackle Dune.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's some crazy shit in that book, and it's about a lot of things.
I just feel like someone asked me to a Rush concert. I'm like, well, I mean, I probably would have fun. They are good musicians. It's just like so not my, like I'm not a Dune dude.
I know. You know? I know. I feel like it's,
I don't know what I'm even saying though, because I'm not denigrating anybody who likes Dune.
No, I know you're not. Never when I have ever thought about doing any Dune stuff on the old show.
Yeah.
But on this new show, who knows?
Well, it was weird when it came out, when the Chalamet movie came out. I don't know why it's his movie, but I'm going to call it the Chalamet Dune. You know, I noticed that scene was in Phantasm as well, with the, put your hand in this thing and there's a monster in there.
Right,
don't be afraid of it. And how much the bar is called Dunes in Phantasm. Like, I didn't realize. And then also, of course, I was going, wow, there's a lot of Star Wars that cribbed from this.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So I guess, all right, at some point. Maybe. Not quite yet.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, I'm into it. I think people'd like that. People were excited when we were talking about Terry Pratchett as well.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to get into Terry Pratchett because that's something I don't know anything about. And I think that would be fun to explore and to check out his work as well. The future's wide open.
I actually started throwing some stories into a file that were appealing to me right away. There was a Truman Capote story called Miriam that I thought would be good, that it was sort of like this Tennessee Williams thing where it's a horror thing that he wrote.
Oh, wow.
The Metamorphosis by Kafka we've talked about doing before.
Of course, yeah.
There's some Roald Dahl stories that, like Lamb to the Slaughter that I read that I think would be really good. Straight up horror stories. That guy's really a meanie and I love it. Like you said about Thuli, we'll go back to Robert E. Howard. I still want to do Red Nails, which is a great story.
Yeah.
We talked about doing The Lottery by Shirley Jackson. There's some other classic short stories like The Magic Shop by H.G. Wells, The Nose by Gogol, The 9 Billion Names of God by Arthur C. Clarke. I know I threw into.
See, that's a whole author. I've never read any of his stuff. I've never read any Arthur C. Clarke, and I know he's hugely influential. So
great story called Millennium that's about overpopulation that we can get into. Those are the kind of sci-fi things that we're going to be tackling.
Yeah, amongst other things.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So I hope you'll all tune in to that, and I hope this wasn't too boring of a discussion, but it was nice for Chris and I to chat about this and get a little closure.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a wrap-up. You know, and this is just our bonus content, so this is just for you special folks. This isn't for the general masses. It's a kind of a more intimate space here.
You are the chosen. And that's all we have. I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
I'm Chris Lackey, and you've been listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast bonus content.
On hppodcraft.com, and of course, and really, let's be honest, only on Patreon.
hppodcraft.com.